You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I got my boots on the ground.
Where them fans at?
Yo, this song is everywhere now. Yes. Where them fans at? Have you learned the dance, boots on the ground, yet?
I have not committed to learning it. It seems pretty simple. I think I could do it.
Those are big words. Are you a good line dancer?
Most of them. I don't have the Tamia one down, though. Because it's okay. Stepping
That's
and spinning.
That's a lot of steps.
Like, I foresee getting dizzy.
That's funny. Have you tried to learn either?
I have not tried to learn either. My other issue with boots on the ground, and maybe I've been spoiled by, you know, the little girl, they call her Miss Shirley. Have you seen there's a little girl who's gaining popularity.
She's dancing.
She is throwing her hips with the fan the way a 2-year-old shouldn't be able to do.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to throw my hip out. Like, I just, because if I'm somewhere and I got heels on, like, I just, it's.
Listen, I got shingles earlier this year, so a hip being thrown out of place is par for the course at this point, I suppose.
If I'm going to commit to something, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I'm like, yeah, that looks like that's going to cause an injury if I do it like Miss Shirley.
Well, you could. I'm sure there's a kinder, gentler way to do the where the fans at part.
You know, I
that's
to,
the part when they go
yeah. That's the part where I can throw the hip out.
Yeah,
because you can't just. I can do the flick of the wrist with the fan. That's easy.
You could be injured by someone calling your name too loud. Like, hey, what? Oh, my neck.
I have reached for something in the back seat of the car and threw out my shoulder.
Lord,
that's where we are.
Did you get it, at least?
I don't even remember.
All you know is the injury.
Because now I'm limited. I can't even. That's funny. Now I don't. Everything has to go in the front seat.
So we got a big announcement to make.
What do we have to, what's our announcement?
So Andrea's daughter just won the Meet of Champions in her event, which means she's literally the very best triple jumper in the entire state of New Jersey. Yeah. Numero uno.
Yeah.
With a mark of 40 feet and 3 inches. And she had been knocking on the door 39, 8, 39, 10. I forget all the exacts, but she was
39, 11 and a quarter.
That's petty.
It is petty, but
I feel like the measuring person needs to be slapped for that. But I knew she wasn't just going to hit it, that she was going to blow past it. And she did. She did 4 inches better almost than her PR prior. That's a big deal.
It was so incredible and emotional and exciting and it happened. So any track and field fans out there, particularly if you are familiar with the jumps, you get 3 attempts. And then most championship meets, the top 8 will advance to a final.
Mm-hmm.
So she's leading from the first jump going into the final. So you don't want to, but she wasn't complacent, and you can't be complacent because there were at least 2 other competitors in the field who have jumped 40 feet before.
Mm-hmm.
She's also beat them before.
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to happen.
Any given Sunday.
And it's kind of, yes. It's definitely like that. So, you know, at this point, you don't want to be greedy because we go into the meets trying to figure out where she is emotionally, you know, mentally. And she's like, you know what? Any of the top five, there's a big drop off between the top five mm-hmm. who were real contenders yeah. and everyone else. And to make a long story short, if she improved, which would have been 40 feet, and didn't win, she would be okay.
Yeah.
But she's going into it with no 40-foot jump, and she's in the lead.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like...
Now, does Hampton know about this yet?
Yes.
And what
coaches were texted.
Yeah, that's good.
And they responded this morning. I think they're out at Nationals now. So
that's dope.
They might have been traveling.
So 31 years ago, I went to the Meet of Champions for indoor, and I ran the 55, and I came in sixth.
And that's meddling.
Honestly, bragging rights for life off getting in sixth place.
Yes.
In the Meet of Champions.
That's how competitive.
If I had won.
That's how competitive the Meet of Champions is.
Man, listen. If
oh,
I had
you're
won
talking
that
about
thing,
who you would have been if you.
Man. And what's crazy in the 55, like literally it's almost a photo finish because it's such a short race. But
yes.
Like I got smoked. Like if I compared my finish to the number one, two, and three folks. Mm-hmm. But like I felt so proud to be in the top six sprinters in the state.
Of course.
And for her to get number one,
yes.
It's just crazy.
She went from not advancing to 10th place to 4th place to number one over the course of her career.
I love it.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. There is this thing, though. I know we have other things to talk about, and we always are going to get to them, right? There's a conversation amongst track heads in New Jersey,
okay,
particularly among the girls, trackflation.
Mm.
Some of your top competitors are looking back at the winning marks and times from 4 or 5 years ago, and those people aren't at the Meet of Champions.
Yeah.
Like, the winner of the Open 400 meters, girls, has run 51.8, 51.9 seconds.
That's quite fast.
There are people who ran 50, girls who ran 57, 58, didn't make it to the Meet of Champions.
Yeah, we got to put that in perspective. So, a 57 in your day would have got you what?
Four it would have got you in the top three.
Yeah, at the Meet of Champions.
At the Meet of Champions.
Yeah.
You might have a stellar superstar who might have run 54 or 55, but 57's making
it. Yeah, I used to literally take the men's times and add 10 seconds, and that was the girls' times for the 400. So a 47 was good.
Yes.
So a 57 for men.
Yes.
So a 57 was like the equivalent.
That's about right. Yeah.
So 51 is insane.
Yeah. You, the top six or top eight in the 400, I think the slowest time might have been 56 low.
Yeah.
Because you have that many more people. Same thing. Triple jump. 3-4 years ago, I think a 36 or 37 won it.
Yeah.
And now you have three or four girls who were knocking on the door or had already jumped 40 feet.
Trackflation, yo.
Trackflation. I just thought it was cool. Like, there are articles written about
how
deep the competition is for the girls in New Jersey this year. Well,
we've seen that in track in general. Remember for a long time, nobody could hit the 4-minute mile? Wasn't that the milestone that literally nobody could hit? And then in the same year, like three or four people hit it?
Yeah.
Once somebody did it, it's like almost like a barrier.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. My winning time from 31 years ago in the 4x400 wasn't in the seeded heat.
What does that mean?
When so
you say it wasn't, it would not have made?
It was not in the, so for New Jersey, the Meet of Champions, they take the top two finishers in each group.
Okay.
You know, it's based on your school type and size. Okay. And then they take 18 wild cards.
Okay.
So you've got 30 to 32 people competing, and you can't all run in the same at the same time.
Not that many lanes.
So they put you in groups, which they call heats.
Yeah.
So the seeded heat is the fastest one.
Okay.
It's the top eight fastest
times.
And the winning time 31 years ago was not in the seeded section.
I got you. Yeah.
That's trackflation.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, that record still stands, so.
Go ahead.
I was flexing a little bit yesterday, but. I'm just really excited for her. It was just, she put together a string of beautiful jumps. I feel hungover still.
I love that. I've got an announcement in my personal life. So my daughter finished high school this week.
Awesome.
And has elected not to participate in graduation activities. And I give her all the credit for acknowledging that this would have been a traumatic experience for her. Like, she sometimes has to make her own decisions for her own mental health. And we backed her up.
That's growth.
Yeah, word. Yeah.
By her, for know, being in tune with herself to know triggers or what she wants or doesn't want. But also growth by mom and dad. Because sometimes we want stuff for our kids that they don't want for themselves.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's hard to...
Oh, yeah. My wife struggled for a minute with this.
Yeah.
I was good. I'm like, oh, I got stuff to do anyway. But no, seriously, no, that's not the real reaction. Seriously, I'm just like, I want what's best for my kid. And when I pray for my children, I pray for them to be happy. I pray for them to be productive.
Yes.
I pray for them to do their best.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that matter the most.
Absolutely. You know, I was reflecting on a question you asked me a week or two ago.
Okay.
On air.
Deep question.
You asked me if motherhood changed, if becoming a parent changed me. And I was like, nah, I've been, but I was so focused on those early days with an infant.
Yeah.
I did not struggle with, what do I do with this human? Which you hear sometimes people say.
Yeah.
How it changed me though? I'm a go with the flow kind of girl. I think you know that.
Yeah.
I am fiercely protective about my children.
Yeah.
Fiercely.
I'll flip every table.
If you want to see a mama bear come out,
yeah,
I will become a mama bear. Yeah. And you know, I can.
No, I'm the same way.
You don't even have to do anything. You can just say the wrong thing.
Listen, I was down in Florida lurking all last week because my daughter was on a school trip. So.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Nope.
Yeah, I was not a chaperone. I was a lurker.
Yeah. I'm like, I can talk about them. And you cannot.
Yeah, that's a fact. So today, we should talk about this one big, beautiful bill. I got to chuckle when I say it.
You can't not.
I got to chuckle when I say it.
There's so many things that you think of when you're saying it that you can't help.
Well, it sounds like I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Right. Like, I'm like. Trying to come up with the acronym, OBBB.
Yeah.
BBB.
Yeah.
You can't not think of butts. Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah.
The Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big Butt Brenda.
Oh, okay. I don't know her, but okay.
So.
Brenda got a big old butt.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's in that LL Cool J song.
I started singing Doing the Butt. Like, that's what I'm saying at this point.
But Brenda wasn't one of them.
Yeah. And Brenda had a baby by Tupac. Lord. So this bill, it's been talked about so much, and I realize we have not really officially talked about it. And today, we'll talk about it, but we'll do it a little bit differently. Like, we'll hit the high points, what they mean for your pocket. The only caveat, though, is that this bill has not passed the Senate.
Mm.
Like, it's passed the House, which is...
Narrowly.
Yeah, narrowly.
But it did pass.
And that's... Maybe halfway, because ultimately the Senate needs to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make some modifications to it. And then it could have to go back to the House again. Like, it is a process. And so while we're going to talk about this bill today, we don't want you to like start adjusting your financial lives based on what we're saying, because we don't know which of these things are going to become law.
Right.
The other thing we're going to do today to keep it interesting is, what are some budget cuts you can do in your own life this summer?
Having a conversation with everybody, including the big, beautiful people in my household.
Yeah, yeah. And we just went through a period that some on social media are calling May-cember.
Mm-hmm.
Because May,
I like it. I'll allow it.
Felt a lot like December with all the extra spending that you weren't expecting. Like, you just had a May-cember moment going up to Providence, Rhode Island. For this graduation.
Yep.
I'm having a May-cember moment paying for my August stay in Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, there's
a lot of expenses are hitting.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going.
In
or
May.
Not. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that as well. So let's get into this act, the OBBB act, the one big beautiful. It's also just marketing. I know this man has many flaws. But one thing he's really, really good at is marketing. Like, calling it one big beautiful almost is like, if you don't like it, then what's wrong with you? Like, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
You didn't pass my beautiful bill.
Yes.
Like, that's good marketing.
Adjectives
crack
me up.
But then you dive into it, and it's kind of jacked up. Right?
Because like this so is beautiful.
This is a bill that was designed to reduce waste, fraud, and abuse and save hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade. Like that in itself sounds fine. If there was actual waste, fraud, and abuse being rooted out. But then additionally, it's also designed to help pay for Trump's tax cuts. So what's crazy is that it kind of does neither for real.
So it's like a filter.
Yeah.
A social media filter. Instagram, Snapchat. I don't use either of them that much, but I have people in my life who do, and I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I want you to take the pictures every time. I look like a supermodel.
Yeah.
Same picture on my regular iPhone camera. Not looking like a supermodel.
That's how people get catfished too.
Yeah, exactly.
I was listening to the radio the other day. They have this one segment where if you went on a date with someone and it didn't go well, you can call up and they'll see if they want to, if you could talk them into another date.
You listening to Hot 97?
And dude was like, yeah, that's mine.
In the morning.
In the morning. I just like to hear people talk in the morning.
I've heard the show. That's how I
So it's funny. It's like, they're like, how come you don't want to go out with Shorty again? He's like, she don't look like the picture at all. And I felt so bad because then he's piling on. He's like, if she walked past a golf course, people would yell, four.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible.
And meanwhile, he's a 3.5.
Exactly. And meanwhile,
she's on the phone.
She's on the phone.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. You shouldn't do that.
I know.
But either way, there's some lipstick put on this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a filter, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
It does not do either one because, yes, it does cut taxes by $3.7 trillion over the course of 10 years. So taxes are being cut. But it only cuts the expense by $1.3 trillion, which results in a higher deficit by $2.4 trillion over the next 10 years. And this isn't like Alan's math or Andrea's math. Like, this is literally the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan government body that runs the math. And they're saying that, look, I know y'all said that this thing is supposed to be big and beautiful. It's supposed to get rid of this fraud and abuse and also pay for the tax cuts. But like, it doesn't do it. Again, we're cutting our taxes. Our income drops by 3.7, but our spending only drops by 1.3 trillion. So it results in a higher deficit by 2.4 trillion. And like, there's a lot of folks, and we've talked about this on air, like there's a lot of folks who think we're going to have a debt crisis in a few years. And the answer is that, well, if we can grow our way out, then we'll be okay. But like, we have never grown our way out.
Hasn't happened.
Why do you think we're going to grow our way out now? So the idea is like, we're going to make growth expand and that'll increase the tax base. But like, yo, you've cut taxes for the wealthy, my guy. Like, you've lined your own pockets and set everybody else up who's super high income to line theirs. And the deficit just gets bigger. And that's the bottom line. So let's get into these cuts. Let's talk about what the government cut. And maybe by the end of the show, we can get into some things that you might consider cutting in your own summertime budget.
Yeah, so let's start with Medicaid.
So first of all, Medicaid is really for folks who are really, really bad off.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who are earning income that is below the it's for folks who are earning income who are either at or below the poverty line. Our poverty line is like $15,000 a year for a single person. Like, that's no money. That's like $1,800 a month. Like, where are you going to live?
I almost said a place and where I don't want to do that.
Eat?
Yeah.
And God forbid you got to go to the doctor. Like, that's where Medicaid comes in.
Yes.
It is a health insurance plan for our most vulnerable, our most economically don't got it folks in America.
Yep.
And it's the first thing that we cut.
$600 billion.
Yeah.
With a B.
A lot of money being cut. How are they cutting it? They're going to make sure that folks are working if they don't have dependents. If your dependents are over a certain age, then you got to work. Additionally, even though Medicaid does not cover undocumented immigrants, if you're in one of the few states that does allow undocumented immigrants to be covered, then it would make sure that the state cannot get any reimbursement for those dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So the result of these cuts, 11 million people, including 1 million undocumented immigrants, but 11 million Americans could lose access to Medicaid because of these cuts.
That's
what we're doing.
Money.
That's what we're doing.
Why there? I mean, we know why, but that's crazy.
Other cuts are going to the SNAP program. SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Now, this is a program that also helps the low-income American population to literally buy groceries. And they're cutting it by $230 billion over the course of 10 years. And this program right now feeds 42 million low-income people. And so 3 million of those 42 million people could go without food assistance with these budget cuts.
Yeah, otherwise known as food stamps.
Yeah. One of the big ways they've cut SNAP is by adding a work requirement. So one of the work requirements is that if you have dependent children who are older than six, then now you've got to go to work. And at face value, that sounds fine. But at the same time, childcare comes into play.
Exactly.
So I'm going to work. Let's say I'm working a minimum wage job. I'm literally going just to be able to afford childcare.
Yep.
Just to be able to, like, it might be a dollar for dollar trade-off. So now the babysitter is raising my kid.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying these programs don't need to be adjusted, but I'm just saying, like, it's a heavy-handed way to do it.
Yep.
For sure.
And it's a thoughtless way to do it. I feel like the people who came up with this and who also supported it certainly cannot possibly have a clue.
Yeah.
But they're going to hear it from their constituents.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Already are.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all over the South, a lot of these red states, like, they have a lot of folks who are getting SNAP benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize it when they voted for him that their own benefits would be cut. But that's happening.
But not only that, specific to this bill, to your point about childcare, it's so expensive. And they don't see the correlation between going to work and supporting a family and the cost of childcare.
Yeah. Other changes they're making to SNAP is they're going to make the states carry 5% of the cost. Like, that's billions and billions of dollars that the states are relying on the federal government for. Like, what do we pay federal taxes for if you're going to turn around and give me the bill? And as a result, the states have to now figure out where that money's going to come from. And so indirectly, a lot of states are going to start cutting their school lunch programs and their school breakfast programs. So, like, indirectly, you've got a double blow to the low-income family, because not only are their SNAP benefits being reduced, but also for some kids, their only chance. I know my mom, she grew up very, very poor. And the one time she knew she could get a meal every day was going to school for lunch.
Yeah.
And they've added breakfast in a lot of places.
Yes.
And, like, that could start to go away to pay for these tax cuts that not only make the budget deficit bigger, but only fatten the wallets of the folks with the most money. It's crazy. And this last one, healthcare changes. So they've been trying to get rid of Obamacare, which is really the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Even though,
to your point, though, on the marketing side, it's like, so you're going to try to make this a bad thing by attaching his name to it? I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't think that worked effectively.
So they're
either like Obama or you don't.
Yeah.
And if it's do, it's kind of like, hey.
Yeah. It's some good coverage. I've been covered by the ACA for most of my term as an entrepreneur because it's affordable. It's great coverage. So one of the things that they're doing, which is just like petty, they're moving the enrollment date up.
Up by a month. That when I read that too, I was just like,
petty how move. Does that help anybody?
How does
it? Well, it helps because they know that less people are going to enroll, because 40% of people enroll after December.
The deadline. Mm-hmm.
And so the deadline used to be January, now it's December. And so they're counting on folks not enrolling, which will then save the government money. Like, that's petty.
It is. Because
there's
petty.
Literally no other reason to do that.
Yep.
It doesn't help anybody, not one little bit.
Petty move.
So we're talking about this big act. We'll just call it. I think we got to cut out the words that we don't agree with.
Okay.
So we're breaking down this big bill. We're cutting out the words that we don't agree with. And when we get back, we'll talk about some of the tax changes that are being proposed. And then we'll end the show with some ways that you can do some big, beautiful, bold cuts in your own summertime budget.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
don't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've got my boots on the ground. I still do.
You making it in from country soul to R&B? Actually, that sounded a little R&B gospel-ish.
Yeah. I was just in Orlando.
The runs. Mm-hmm.
There are 1 million line dances that we've never heard of that young people know and are doing. I went to this
place.
Let's
hear them.
You
don't know the names.
Don't know the song.
Yeah.
Like, there's a million songs that you're like, there's a dance for this song. A lot of them, there's a lot of country music ones,
mm-hmm.
a lot of R&B ones, a lot
country
of rap ones.
Country music is famous for line dancing.
And then I had to call BS on this one song because I'm like, watching what they're doing. I'm like, y'all doing the electric slide with some extra twists in there. I ain't stupid. Like,
a lot of them are that, so I grew up in the South, right?
Yeah.
South Carolina and Louisiana. In gym, square dancing was a thing.
Yeah, which
did
is
you
so
ever
weird.
Have to square dance in gym?
Of course I
in
did.
In New Jersey?
I looked
did
forward
you?
To it. Yes.
Wow.
I still remember my square dance partner, Keisha. I still remember her. I used to look forward. Remember that song? I can't wait to get to school each day.
So I can square dance with Keisha.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I really thought that was just a Southern thing.
I don't know what they were training us for. Like, where are we going to need these square dance skills?
Isn't it more about, like, following directions, though?
I don't know. I thought that we were being prepared for, like, the prom or, like, some, like,
I don't remember
wartime
anything
dance
except
activity.
Do-si-do.
Yeah.
Which is what? Is that when you link arms
link
and go
arms,
around in a
spin
circle?
Around.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Try to see if you can catch a glimpse of Keisha. From behind. I'm just joking. Yeah, I used to bathe in deodorant and cologne prior to square dancing.
Wow.
I used to carry so much cologne. I used to put it on and then I would put some in a little Ziploc bag thinking that in case it wore out.
Wow.
I'd be able to freshen up adding a little more later on. It's crazy. My son is doing the same thing. Like, not with the Ziploc bag, but he's bathing in my most expensive colognes.
Oh,
and
it's not.
Right,
what was the brand that everybody Axe?
Yeah,
that young boys were. He's graduated.
Because he's
from
like,
that.
I see Pop ain't wearing that, so.
Oh, I see.
I need to go right to.
Are
the
we talking about Baby Boy? Are
baby
we talking?
Boy.
To, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. He's yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So this big butt bill. What are some of the changes? These are changes being proposed, but we don't know if these things are actually going to come true or not. We're going to talk about them because I do think at a minimum, it does give us an idea of what types of things might come down the pike. And I will tell you, this bill is very controversial because just this week, we've got Musk saying that it's an abomination or whatever strong words he's used.
They fighting for real.
He tweeted that Trump is in the Epstein files today.
It got real personal.
Next,
real
I expect
quick.
I expect Trump to tweet about Musk's mama at this point.
I mean,
that's why your mama got
yeah,
whatever. Fill in
yeah.
the blank.
And for our listeners, we're recording a little earlier in the week than we typically do. So some of this stuff is really, really fresh, like minutes ago.
Yeah, but this stuff, this is going to be all folks are talking about this month because July 4th is the goal to have this thing pass through the Senate by then. And it really passed by a very, very slim margin in the House. And what made the margin even more slim is that not every Republican voted for it in the House. And already there's a handful of Senate members on the Republican side that have already said they're not voting for this crap. So we don't know what's going to actually hit, but these are the things that are being discussed. So first is good news for us who live in the Northeast. It's the salt cap being raised to $40,000. Mm-hmm. And when we say salt, literally not the stuff you put on your food. It is the state and local tax deduction. Mm-hmm. And this impacts folks who itemize their deductions. It's the reason why for some, they've been taking the standard deduction because they lost a lot of their deductions. This is your chance to write off your state income taxes that get deducted from your paycheck, as well as your property taxes. And that's what really has been hurting us in New Jersey, because my property taxes are well above the $10,000 limit. And it's not that I live in the most baller house. It's that New Jersey just has sky high property taxes.
Yeah, we're one of the top in the country. And, you know, our taxes fund our public schools. You don't have that in most places.
In what places?
Well, literally, our property taxes fund a large percentage of our public schools. I'm not saying that they don't at all anywhere else, but the municipality in which you live determines the quality of the public schools in your town.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Generally, property taxes almost always pay for schools, but the difference in New Jersey is like we have too many school districts. Like we have districts with like 40 kids in, like we have waste, I think. Like that's what needs to be studied. Like I think New Jersey's got problems. Like we've got a gubernatorial election coming up, and like it's something that I hope gets addressed because it doesn't need to be this way.
Yeah. I think what happens in other states, so also in New Jersey, we don't pay taxes on food.
This is true.
Or clothes.
And we shouldn't. We don't pay on groceries.
We don't pay on food and clothes. And in other states, you have a more diverse income stream.
That's true.
To raise revenue. So property taxes are lower because tax revenue is coming in from other places. So just saying.
Touche.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I've lived a little bit.
Yeah.
A few different places.
We do pay tax on restaurant food, which is like they're trying to encourage us not to eat at the restaurant, but buy your groceries. I like that about Jersey.
Clean eating.
But yeah, the salt.
But the restaurant owners aren't going to feel that way.
Yeah. If I owned a restaurant, I'd be like, well, how come they get a break? They've talked about raising the salt cap to $40,000, but where they get the high income folks is that they're going to phase it out if your income is over $500,000. So that's their way of making sure that they are doing something to kind of clap back at the high income folks. Next, we go to child tax credit. So recently we saw in 2017, the child tax credit go up to $2,000, and they want to make that permanent. I'm not mad at that. Although I don't have any more kids that qualify. Right. So
yes, we won't benefit, but it makes sense and it seems reasonable.
I drive past a daycare every day when I get my breakfast, and I'm like, oh, I remember those days. Remember carrying your little bundle?
Yeah.
And then going
the
off
carrier
to work.
And the whole process.
God bless them.
Getting the updates.
Do I want to do it again?
Heck no.
Hell no. And to the no. Okay. Help for seniors. I do like this one.
Alan's in a singing mood today.
Always. Always.
It's extra. It's on another level today.
Hell to the no. Okay. So seniors. And this is something like we both have parents who are over 65. You and I both. Mm-hmm. And they've always asked, like, isn't there some special thing for us? Not really. Like sometimes your state might give a property tax deduction if you're over a certain age where you can get a rebate on some of your property taxes. And I've helped mom and dad get that. But now what's being proposed is an additional $4,000 deduction from your taxes as a bonus deduction if your income is below $150,000 as a married couple or if you're making $75,000 or less. Now, this is kind of a way of, on a backdoor basis, giving folks a tax break on their Social Security without actually giving them a tax break on their Social Security.
just always sounds suspect to use the term backdoor.
Like, why can't we go through the front door?
Why can't we go through the front door? Yeah. Like, everything is transparent on the up and up. I don't know. It just always, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just technical. Like, I think
I get it.
You can't change the taxation on Social Security benefits without jumping through a bunch of hoops. And they're like, oh, but we could try to backdoor it this way. But I agree with you. Why can't you just walk through the front door? Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
With me.
Remember that song, I'm looking at the front door?
That's what you didn't hear me.
No, I thought that's what you said. I wasn't sure.
Actually,
we fight every night, that's not kosher. I reminisce with Bliss of when we were closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like you're 10. I could keep going, but we'll stop. That was one of my songs.
Was impressive. Yeah. And I got it wrong because what I actually said was, I'm walking in the front door.
That's why I was like,
I'm gonna be that older person that says stuff and gets it wrong. Man. For the listeners who know, just think Miss Barbara on Abbott Elementary.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's just because I'm tired.
Other changes, HSA. So this is interesting.
Yeah.
They will allow HSAs to pay for your gym membership. It'll be capped at $1,000 a year for couples. I kind of like that because, like, low-key, like, health is wealth. And if you can work out more, then you won't have such a drain on the health insurance industry. So
somebody's going to be like, why gyms, though? Why not Peloton? Why not the mirror? Why not a personal trainer? Why does it have to be gyms?
Talk to your congressman. Anyway. Yeah. The next one, these MAGA accounts. Like, now they're just
getting,
like,
out of control.
They're just dancing on our graves at this point. They're like just waving their fingers in our faces, the folks that didn't support the MAGA agenda. But who doesn't like money accounts for growth and advancement? Like, that's what MAGA stands for in this case. And so this is really like, I mean, the more you read this, it's just a regular.
It's a savings account. Or
a regular
brokerage account. Yeah, yeah.
The only difference is that they're talking about having a one-time government match of $1,000. So you can put up to $5,000 into this MAGA account. And it's for anybody from the time they're born until, I guess, they're not a kid anymore. And it's tax deferred, kind of like how brokerage accounts are tax deferred. The money can be used for a down payment or house, to start a small business, or for education, kind of like a brokerage account. And when you withdraw the money, you still got to pay taxes, kind of like a brokerage account. So to me, it's not that special, but it sounds good, I suppose.
How are brokerage accounts tax deferred?
You buy a stock, you hold on to it for 18 years, you pay the taxes at the end. That's what I mean when I say it's tax deferred. It's not.
No, I got that on the MAGA accounts. I meant on the brokerage account.
That's what I'm saying. I have a brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
I buy a stock fund. I hold on to it for more than a year. I hold on to it for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've deferred my taxes. That's all.
Okay, until you sell it, to withdraw.
On the gain. Now, look.
I'm being
of course
super technical nerd.
Yeah. And that MAGA account, there's investment funds. I guess like a 401k. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's like a government 401k, like a TSP set of options. I don't know. These are all like theorized things that they haven't fully flushed out, but the MAGA account's another one. And then other issues. So student loans. So no more subsidies on federal student loans. That's going to hit some pockets for sure. They want you to be able to write off car loan interest deduction up to $10,000 if you bought an American vehicle.
Wow.
Which begs the question, what is an American vehicle?
Petty.
For example, my brother's Volvo that was built in South Carolina, is that an American vehicle?
You can ask the same question for BMW. Don't they have a plant or facility also in South Carolina?
You see what I'm trying to tell? Like, what's an American vehicle? I don't know. The taxes on tips thing, like, that actually came through. So they're saying as long as you make under $160 per year, then you won't pay any tax on your tips. I ain't mad at that. And then finally, they're getting rid of a bunch of clean energy credits. Who needs that stuff?
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the things that Musk is mad about.
Didn't think about that.
EVs is a part of that, for sure. So we've walked through this entire bill at this point.
That sounds like a stretch, but yes.
Now we've walked through a thousand pages of legislation that's proposed. We've gone
40 minutes.
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
With time to spare.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we spend a little bit of time talking about you and your big, bold, beautiful, bodacious backdoor budget cuts that you can make. When we come back from break, we'll do that.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Momentum.
So, we're back.
What are you doing this summer, Alan?
So, right now, definite plan is to go to Martha's Vineyard for the summer.
Okay. With the fam or?
With the fam. Just,
okay.
And then possible plan is to go to this music festival in Canada.
Okay.
And I say possible just because we haven't booked it yet, but like we would love to be able to go.
Okay.
To this music festival.
Kind of like bookends to the summer. The music festival and then the vineyard.
Yeah. Because sometimes like you feel like summer didn't really start till you go somewhere, which is stupid, but you kind of feel like that sometimes.
Yeah. I've just had my summers tied to the academic calendar so much that. Yeah, I feel like people are outside doing stuff and we're still in school.
Yeah.
Because people are outside doing stuff and we're still in school.
Yeah.
Like my daughter's graduation is literally the end of this month.
Yeah.
June 26th.
Dang. My daughter's graduation is today.
Uh-huh.
June 5th.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, any other plans for the summer?
Something still TBD. There's so much to celebrate and I'm tired.
And
so,
when is moving day? Is it late August or early?
Because August she's running track. 18th-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, track season doesn't start until winter track doesn't start until December. So there's just training going on, which will be a first for her, but because there's no soccer. So we don't have, she doesn't have to be there early.
Okay. That's good.
Probably has summer training to do, but so we got her graduation end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
She and I are taking a mother-daughter cruise with some other moms who have daughters who graduated.
Aw, so sweet.
I think so.
That's really sweet.
I think it's going to be cool. July is me and the mister's 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Wanted to take a trip. Crazy as it sounds, with all four of us, because I'm thinking we're in this transition period, and I don't know if we'll ever again.
Yeah.
But my son is like, "Nah, I'm good. You don't want to go away with us."
Yeah, that sounds sweet, but nah, I'm good.
He's like, "Nah, I'm good."
That's funny.
You could use my portion of the financial contribution to this vacation, and you could pay for me to go hang out in LA. Oh, and I'm like, so I'm just gonna like, no, that's not happening.
See how he tried to do that?
I know.
Yeah.
And then we have her college send-off / graduation party. We're going to do that in August. So the vineyard's in question for us this year. Or I'm saying, hey, why don't we drop her off and then go somewhere instead of trying to force it into the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot TBD because no one has the bandwidth to actually plan it.
Yeah.
Because that would have to be me.
Yeah.
Sis is tired.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And by the way, it's written all over you. I can't even do it. You're making me laugh, but it's written all over your face. Andrea is struggling
I'm
right
struggling
now,
I'm struggling today.
Y'all.
I'm She's struggling, so y'all. Spent.
But
I'm
you're
spent.
Keeping energy up, though.
I'm
I like
spent.
That.
I'm spent.
I like that. Yeah.
But let's talking about.
All right. I'll transition us. We're good. I got you. Let's talking about. We should keep that
let's
in.
Let's talking about.
So let's talking about. So let's get back into these summer budgets. So one of the issues is that folks are reeling from May-cember. And Maycember, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. It's that idea that a lot of expenses jumped on your pocket in the month of May.
Mm.
And it's stuff that you might not have been counting on.
Right.
Like the down payments for things for later on this summer, summer camps, prom attire. Maybe there's a dance recital. Maybe it's a sports tournament. I'm on my social media. I'm telling you, AAU stuff is still happening, and it's at an alarming rate.
Sorority and fraternity conventions.
So for a lot of folks, this is kind of like a time of financial stress, like one that people don't really talk about.
Because
it's like, even if you're paying tuition for your kid to go to school, this is probably the last time that you've had to pay it. But like, you've already been paying all this other stuff, and now they hit you with that tuition bill.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that look on your face. Yep.
That's all I got is yep.
And as we go into this summer, there's a survey that says over 53% of people, they want to go on vacation this summer. And the average family that's planning a vacation, the cost is just under $5,000. Like that's loot.
That's not inexpensive.
Yeah. When you think about your summer budgets, just the travel component.
Oh, yeah.
Are you dropping $5,000 in a summer typically?
Yes. Yeah. But this summer we're traveling for so many summers we spent traveling for sports.
Yeah.
We're getting a return on our investment, but now I want to travel just for travel's sake. So, yeah. Yeah, it's probably going to be about that.
Yeah.
There's three or four of us depending on what mood the eldest is in, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, my kids were younger. We never wanted to fly with them because they were just, it was just would have been a setup for everybody.
It's just
so
lot.
We were driving everywhere. Like we were driving to Florida, to North Carolina. So when my kids were younger, we weren't spending this type of money. Now we're going to Martha's Vineyard more often. So like we're definitely spending in excess to that. So it's like, it's not cheap to go away. And I'm always like, I'm spending all this money and I'm still in America. Like, what's up with that? Like, I was at this fundraiser this week and they were auctioning off an experience in Augusta, GA for the Masters.
Mm.
And I'm sitting next to a brother from South Carolina. He's like, yeah, I ain't paying $12,000 to go to Augusta.
Listen, I used to live in Columbia and I have family in Augusta and that didn't feel like a road trip.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an hour.
Yeah.
I get it. That's like New York City for us. Although in my staycation budget mindset, I'm like, we should just go to the city, either spend a weekend in the city and take in a bunch of shows or just go see a show because we want to.
Yeah. So what do you do if you've overspent in the month of May and now summertime's coming? The first thing you do is don't panic. Like, just understand that May's one of those times where a lot of budgets get stretched. Like, give yourself some grace.
It's true.
The second thing, though, is if you've racked up some credit card debt, like, that's real and that's got to be addressed. Come up with a game plan for getting that paid off by the end of the year. And sometimes, like, credit cards are really supposed to be there just for the timing differences. Like, sometimes
a bridge.
Our expenses aren't even every single month.
Right.
But we've got to make sure that we are not accumulating credit card debt that's just piling up from one year to the next.
Exactly.
Other things you can do. Why not scale back this summer? I know I talked about spending $5,000, but wouldn't it be lovely to go to the beach? Like, that you can drive to?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be beautiful, big and bold to pack a lunch and have a picnic in the park?
Could be nice. I don't know if it's beautiful, the ones that are in driving distance for us.
One thing I give my wife credit for when my kids were young, and they still do it occasionally now, is finding out all the free stuff. Like, for example, the Staten Island Zoo, great zoo, some day of the week. I forget what day it is, but once a week, every single week in the summer, that zoo is free to the public.
Never knew
and
that.
And my kids have been there 1,000,000 times. Like, there's a lot of free stuff in our communities. It's museums.
This is true.
Right? I just got one of my cousins texting me that the Universal Circus is on sale.
Say what?
This summer. Yeah. $19 a ticket.
Wow.
So look for that thing that's either on the low or even free.
Yeah.
It's beautiful outside right now.
Fewer low-cost things, but fewer free things rather, but definitely some low-cost things.
Yeah. Other things to think about. Airfare is actually down right now. A lot of costs are actually down. Like, I've been flying recently and literally, maybe it's because I'm flying out of Newark Airport and they've been having a lot of well-publicized issues with air traffic controllers, but the airport is pretty quiet right now.
I have flown a few times, more so in late winter, early spring, and I was surprised at how inexpensive even close to last minute flights were.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is maybe check out a flight when you would have otherwise driven.
Absolutely.
If you can get a good deal. Maybe.
I upgraded.
Really?
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah.
You fancy, huh? You fancy.
I mean,
huh?
I was traveling for family reasons, for bereavement reasons, but yeah, I found that when you start adding in all the other add-ons, it really wasn't that much of a difference.
Yeah. Right now, the average round-trip fare this summer is expected to be $265 a ticket. A year ago, it was $274. Mm. So you just saved yourself $9. Okay. What else can you do this summer? Once you get to the destination, a lot of times we go crazy once we get there, right? Like my kid was just in Disney and I thank God they didn't give her the armband with my debit card attached to it.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. But think about cutting costs once you get there. Maybe go to a beautiful place, but like kick it at the pool a little bit.
Yes.
Or go to the beach, which is free.
You don't have
versus
to be at
paying
the...
for the excursion. Like you're going to be on a cruise.
Yes.
They're going to have all those different excursions you can pay for.
Yes.
Maybe just like, I'm just going to kick it at the beach.
I'm just going to kick it at the beach.
Take an Uber to the beach instead of...
Take a nap poolside or on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to decide, though. There is a offering of a casita, like a little private cabana type, like on the ship on sale days. And I'm like, is that worth it?
No.
I don't know. That's not worth it?
No. You mean just to be shielded from the sun or just to feel
drinks,
like VIP?
Drinks, service... Just chilling. You're taking a chance, though, because I think the draw is that you prepay for it.
Yeah, that's what cruise ships try to do.
And if it's not a nice day, you're not going to want to do that.
How long's the cruise?
It's short. It's like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do with cruise ships. They're trying to get you to prepay a bunch of things before you get there and realize, I could just sit over there for free.
There's like this cupcake decorating class. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
Not paying for that.
Yeah, it is fun, though, because one thing about a cruise ship, you're guaranteed to have some time with your child.
Well, that's the whole point of this one, right? So,
like, if you went somewhere, and I mean, there are plenty of chances for her to get away from you because there's teen activities.
Yes.
But at some point, we hope she's got to come back to the room, and she's got to eat, and maybe we can coordinate some times.
We've got some planned dinners and shows together.
So, other things. So, when you're flying, okay, look at some odd times to fly. So maybe scratch July 4th, maybe scratch Labor Day. How about a Wednesday to Wednesday type of trip? Like booking,
I'm about it.
What about August 8th? Like traveling
random.
Out. Yeah. Like pick a random date.
Yeah.
Pick a date in the middle of the week and buy your ticket in advance. Like a lot of times these are tips that could save you 20 or 30% on the ticket prices.
I mean, even when you talk about going to the Vineyard, you know, there's a 2 to 3 week period where everybody goes to the Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
You go in September, it's still nice.
Yeah.
It's still calm.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what you're going for. If you want to be in the middle of all the action, then that might not be for you. But if you're really going because you want to relax.
Yeah. I like it.
Go at a different time.
And then finally, think about these exchange rates, my friend. Not sure if you've been listening to our podcast, but the dollar is getting weaker. When we looked at the euro, as of today, it's down about 10% since January, which in other words means that Europe just got 10% more expensive.
Right.
And so you've got to be mindful in advance of where you can afford to go, not just by the travel cost, not just by the lodging, but is food going to be more expensive when I get there?
Right.
The garments and things I want to buy, are they going to be more expensive?
Yeah, the thing I think about when traveling in general, this is in any economic environment, is what am I going for? Because, like, nothing's worse than going on vacation and, like, being, I don't want to say nervous, but, like, penny-pinching on everything.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there are some things you can cut back on, but whatever you that your main reason for going, like, splurge on that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like as someone who is responsible or feels responsible for planning, coordinating, if not preparing meals, I don't want to do none of that on vacation.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the rest of my family's like, oh, we can go to the store. We can get some stuff. We got, and I'm like, I don't want to do none of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that.
It's going to fall on you.
Right.
And you've been a responsible citizen for a very long time.
What do you mean?
Like, you've been responsible for people and stuff and working and paying bills.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And preparing food and all of the things for a long time.
I'm
so
not
mama
pinching
needs a
break. Pennies when it comes to food. And I'm a foodie on top of it. So I like good food.
Yeah.
So I want what I want.
I ain't mad at that.
If I'm traveling for track meets, though, then I'm like, all right, let's get a hotel room, like an extended stay type thing that has a kitchen and all of that. And we're going to the store and we're making stuff.
So it sounds like in the Gray household, the budget deficit is expanding also based on.
Well, I mean.
These choices. Just
we,
like the
we
government.
Have a reduction
How many
of expenses.
Trillions? Okay.
We have a reduction of expenses called Brown University.
The fiscal cliff.
That feels a little.
Yes.
It feels like
you.
A raise, but it hasn't been in place long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've kicked it a lot. We've talked about our personal lives ad nauseum. We've spent a little bit of time on this bill that's being talked about in Congress. And we've given some good advice on how you can keep it together after this May-cember as you head into summer. That's it.
Live, laugh, love.
I love that. Keep listening.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.